This is the Arise Ministries Collective podcast, where we seek to encourage and equip the body of Christ in biblical truth and understanding. We believe that when women have an authentic and growing relationship with Jesus, truly know God's word, and are dependent on the Holy Spirit, they become powerful and influential vessels for the kingdom. I'm your host, Lisa Da Silva, and today we're talking about the importance of studying and knowing the Old Testament. Our guest today is Ellen Newman. Ellen was a registered nurse for 45 years and is living proof that you are never too old to go back to school. She returned to university at 60 to get a degree in biblical foundations from Multnomah and has a passion for seeing people engaged in the Word of God. Welcome, Ellen.
Well, thank you, Lisa. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, so glad that you're here. And you and I actually met years ago. We were in some women's ministry together, and I know that you have served in that capacity as well as a women's pastor. And I have grown to know you as someone who truly cherishes the Word of God in your heart, but also longs to know and understand it with your mind, which is something I really appreciate.
Absolutely.
About you. And I know you as someone who loves the Old Testament. So why do you love it so much?
Well, actually, I probably have several reasons. The first is because I love history. Rather than being a nurse, I always wanted to be a history teacher. And I think that's really what helps me dive in. I love to understand how people and things fit together. And especially with the Bible, where you see something mentioned in one book and it shows up in another book. And then I get to thinking, how are they linked? So the key question for me is always, what is the history behind it? I also love the Hebrew language, which is a picture language. When ancient Hebrew was first written, each letter represented both a sound and a picture. So in English, if I say to you, Lisa, I'm going to run to the bank, it has several different meanings. The bank of a river, or the place I put my money when I tell you I'm going to run to the bank, or when a plane changes direction, it banks to make its turn. In Hebrew, that would be three different words. For example, taking each Hebrew letter of the word peace, the literal meaning is to destroy authority attached to chaos. And isn't that what God does? We get his peace when he destroyed the authority that Satan has over us. And we all know that Satan causes chaos. So I love to dig in and look for gems in scripture. A more personal reason is when I ask God for guidance or to lead me to a particular verse for direction, he always leads me to the prophets. It's just this crazy thing that God and I have going on. Why else would I be led to Haggai or Habakkuk? Not the usual books someone goes looking to.
They're not, and they're actually books that I avoided for a really long time.
Yeah.
So those are some of your personal reasons. You love the Hebrew, you love the prophets, and it's where the Lord leads you. So oftentimes, and I'm going to make sort of an overarching statement here about women, but sometimes we don't think we can handle the hard work maybe of the Old Testament, the thinking behind the Old Testament. And so you've said, okay, these are some reasons I enjoy it, but Ellen, are there theological reasons for why you believe we have to study the Old Testament as well?
Oh, absolutely. First, the Bible is really incomplete without the Old Testament.
Yeah, amen.
The New Testament was never given to replace the Old Testament, but rather to complete the story. The story starts in Genesis when God creates man and woman in his image, and they get to live in the beautiful garden. But in the garden is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And there is a choice to be made. Are they going to trust God's definition of good and evil? Or are they going to define good and evil for themselves? So we have the serpent, who is already in a rebellion against God. telling Adam and Eve, you won't die, you'll become like God. And the whole story of mankind spirals out of control, and we have this ugly term called sin. But even then, God had a plan. He is going to send a man to strike a lethal blow to the snake's head. The big picture of God's grace is fulfilled in the New Testament. Revelation completes the story by telling us through the redemptive work of Jesus, the curse has been removed.
And I think we forget, I'm even going to make this personal, I forget, and especially before I really started studying the Word of God, and you've been doing this a lot longer than I have, but we forget that Jesus, Paul, John, James, Peter, they take us back to the Old Testament. So oftentimes we may even think a memory verse, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. We think, oh, Jesus said that for the first time.
Exactly.
But he didn't. We first hear it in Deuteronomy. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that's right. The New Testament is the witness to the fact that Jesus of Nazareth is the one in whom and through whom all the promises of God find their fulfillment. Now, these promises can only be understood from the Old Testament. The fulfillment of the promises can be understood only in the context of the promises themselves. So the Old Testament is, what was the promise? The New Testament is, what was the fulfillment?
Oh, I've never thought about it that way before. Old Testament, what was the promise?
Correct.
New Testament, what was the fulfillment of that promise?
Exactly, exactly. So that brings us to our second point. The Old Testament instructs believers concerning the person and the work of Jesus, the promised Messiah. We wouldn't totally understand who Jesus is and why he did what he did unless we know the Old Testament. Without the Old Testament foundation of the curse, law, sacrifice, priesthood, and redemption, then the cross, resurrection, and salvation of Christ would make little sense. His birth, his death, his resurrection, his return, his kingdom are all revealed in the Old Testament. And if you want to get to know Jesus, the Lamb of God, you cannot neglect the law and sacrifice system in the Old Testament. So I find this is difficult for women. So one of the things that I'd like to recommend is an excellent 5-volume Bible study series by Nancy Guthrie that I just completed, called Seeing Jesus in the Old Testament. She does a beautiful job of laying out Jesus all the way through the Old Testament. We tend to put Jesus in the New Testament box and make him the Jesus we are comfortable with. We need to see Jesus through the Old Testament to really define him and what he came to accomplish.
Yeah, I could not agree with that more, Ellen. And when Well, you know a little bit of my story, that I was doing topical Bible studies for years, and I'm not saying that there's anything inherently wrong with topical Bible study, but when I truly began studying the Word of God for myself and not necessarily looking at what commentators said or what teachers said and really engaged in the Scripture, my first time doing that was the book of Isaiah. And
I went for it.
It was in a precept class, and I'm almost embarrassed to say, but I'm over it now, that when I heard prophecies of Jesus, it absolutely floored me. It floored me. I was one of those longtime believers that gasped and said, Jesus was around in the Old Testament. So how many times had I read in Genesis, we created man, let's create man in our image, not realizing that our included Jesus. Genesis 3:15, you referenced that earlier. That's our first true reference to what is going to happen through the promised Messiah. And so I love that you you're telling us that Jesus, not only is he referenced in the Old Testament, but he is in the Old Testament. And to understand,
it's about him.
It's about him. It's about this fulfilling of the promise of mm-hmm. Christ. You have also talked to me about how the Old Testament reveals God's patient and tenacious love for us. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, you know, the Old Testament unfolds over 2,000 years. The New Testament, by comparison, spans only 100 years. In the Old Testament, we encounter people who are a lot like us. They're sinful, they're stubborn, they're prone to wander away from God and to make stupid choices. And yet we see a God who chooses to stick it out with this messed up and dysfunctional group of people. Reading through God's interactions with his people in the Old Testament helps me remember that just how steadfast God's love really is. One of the suggestions I make is reading through the Old Testament looking for the promise of Jesus, and mark that in your Bible. And as you read the New Testament, mark the promises as being fulfilled.
How do you mark that? So you say, I mark that there's a promise of Jesus in the Old, and then I mark when it's fulfilled in the mm-hmm. New Testament. In a practical sense, Ellen, how do you do that? Because we might have some listeners who have never written anything in their Bibles before.
I picked this up from Precepts and a dear friend, Judy, and I put a P with an arrow going out. And then when I see it in the New Testament, I mark a P with an arrow going toward the P.
Okay, so prophecy coming mm-hmm. is a P with an arrow, like we would normally see an arrow facing out. Mm-hmm. And then when the prophecy is fulfilled, you mark a P and an arrow facing back to it.
Exactly.
And then maybe a little cross reference there mm-hmm. for where they go back and forth. Thank you for that. So I think women can relate to the personal stories in the Old Testament. So, you know, we love reading about Ruth. We might even read about Deborah, sort of these women or these personal little anecdotes, even the ones that we've grown up with hearing about in Sunday school. But Ellen, what about a book like Leviticus or, you know, the genealogies? But really, does a woman need to read Levitical law?
Yes, they do. But, well, we've all gotten bogged down in Leviticus, and many a time it has derailed a read-through-the-Bible plan.
Oh, that's so true. I've stopped at Leviticus a few times.
Yeah. So if you're having trouble, skip over it. Okay. You can always come back to it as you mature in your Old Testament reading. So let me give you a few hints to help the process. As you read through Scripture and you see the reference verses that are either in a column in the middle of the Bible or down and below, look those verses up, especially when they mention a prophet who has gone before a king to tell them something.
Okay.
That's how the prophets start to make more sense. For example, in 2 Chronicles 32, Jerusalem is under attack by the Assyrians, and King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah cry out to the Lord for help. If you go to Isaiah 37:14, he tells the same story but gives you a little bit more detail as to what is happening with the spiritual condition. Mm-hmm.
So we don't just ignore. Sometimes we can mm-hmm. just read through it like a story.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're truly trying to understand, we would look up those cross references.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. There's also a Bible that's called the Chronological Bible. And yes, folks, there's an app for that, and I looked it up, and there are actually many apps for that. And then you can read the Bible as it flows on a timeline. So you would read Isaiah along with 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings, and it would all be in order, and thus tie it together a little bit more.
And so some of those Bibles that I have some experience with, there are some chronological Bibles that will go still book at a time, but in the best chronological order that they can. Then there are others that will actually divide those books up. And those ones are my favorite.
Yes.
And you find that books like Job might not be where you thought they were.
Exactly.
It's quite exciting.
It's very exciting. And to all of a sudden see those minor prophets that you never read because you have no idea what they're mm-hmm. talking about, are showing up much earlier in Scripture.
Right. What else can you recommend?
I also recommend that you do a little digging into history. And I know this is hard for people sometimes, but you need to know a little bit about what was the world like in that same time period. What were the outside influences? About 3 years ago, I did a wonderful trip to Greece doing Paul's journey. And I was really surprised how much I didn't know about ancient Greece. I kind of know a lot about Roman history, but not Greece. So I'm reading the Greek history on my Kindle as we're traveling along in the bus, because all of a sudden I'm realizing I have no clue.
Oh, I love that you can admit that, because you're someone who I look at and I think, oh, I just, you know, sometimes we talk about how we should never compare ourselves to other people. I'm a believer of healthy comparison. So I look at you and I think one day I'm going to know what Ellen knows. So for me to hear that 3 years ago, you didn't totally understand what Greece might have been like during Paul's writings offers some encouragement to me. So what would you recommend we read for Old Testament history?
I would recommend Egyptian history and culture. For instance, in Genesis, the Pharaoh in Joseph's time was not the same ruling family when the Exodus took place. They didn't remember Joseph. They didn't know what Joseph had done for Egypt. And then in Exodus, when Moses brings the 10 plagues on Pharaoh, each of those plagues represent an Egyptian god. So that's what God was fighting against. He was fighting against the low gods of the Pharaoh.
The things that we don't know if we don't understand the context.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
And that's a great word that I'm just going to throw out there for a minute. So Ellen's talking about understand the history of a particular place at a particular time. And oftentimes in Bible study circles, we call that context.
Context.
Okay.
And then in the Old Testament, you also want to study Assyrian and Babylonian history and culture. They're essential to the majority of the Old Testament after Solomon's reign. And these are the nations that God uses to take his people out of Israel. And you cannot understand the terror the people of Israel felt toward these enemies unless you know how these nations conducted war. And it tells you why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh.
Right, right.
And then in the latter portions of Daniel and Ezekiel and Esther, you want to know about the Media-Persian Empire.
It gives us insight into some of those prophets that come a little bit later. Daniel, Ezekiel, Esther.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
And then what about, okay, so I'm hearing you say all these things, and I'm a listener, and I'm thinking, well, that's all really great for you, Ellen, because you're a history buff. And then they might be thinking, but whenever Lisa tells us about how to study the Bible, she always says, study the Bible for yourself. Study the Bible for yourself. So tell us a little bit about how commentaries can help us understand the history, but also how we would use them so that they're not framing how we're interpreting the Bible. So first, tell us about what you know about some commentaries and Bible dictionaries.
Well, I think they really give you a lot of insight into history. It will tell you about the Assyrians and give you a little bit of hindsight into that back. And there's plenty of online
Bible
commentaries.
Software,
Bible software. They're online. But I really think you need an updated commentary. A lot of the ones that are online are older ones that publishing rules are, so they're free to the public.
Okay. What do you use?
I actually use and really like John MacArthur's commentary, and that's the app that I have on my phone.
Okay.
It's Grace to You app.
Grace to You. And we'll put that on the website so that people can take a look on it.
And I just find that it's easy to understand. He gives you a little historical background, and it's just really easy to access. So that's just the one that I'm using now. And then you also need to look up specific keywords. So it's Hebrew for Old Testament and Greek for New Testament.
I'm going to pause there. We're going to say that again. So the Old Testament was written in?
Hebrew.
The New Testament was written in?
Greek.
Okay.
And this includes Strong's numbering, keyword studies, and interlinear Bibles. And all of those are available also online. Now, that is you may want to Google something, how do I look up interlinear Bibles online?
Right.
And it'll tell you that process that you go through to look up those words.
Okay. This ends the first segment of The Old Testament and Why We Need to Know It with Ellen Newman. We hope you'll join us again next month when Ellen walks us through the Book of Esther using some of the strategies she discussed in this episode. I encourage you to read through that book as many times as you can in preparation. Ellen will show us how understanding the history and context of an Old Testament book such as Esther allows us to see things we didn't before and weaves the text together in one seamless story.